Thank you all so much for those beautiful reflections. It's such an honor to have the opportunity to speak to you all this morning, and I'm deeply grateful to Denzel for inviting me to be a part of this service. I've only known Ron for 2 years when he started coming to St. Mary's, and our first Holly Fair, which is coming up next weekend, by the way, Ron donated this beautiful bowl. I happened to walk up to him and I said, "Oh, my heavens, Ron, that's gorgeous. Would you tell me about it?" And I think it was an hour and a half later that I knew more about American holly and turning wood and the properties of woodworking, and it was an absolutely extraordinary experience. What was most striking to me in that time together and hearing him share his passion of woodworking was feeling that this was one of those sacred moments in life where I was being shown the true self, the core of this man, as he was talking about this passion. He told me that one of the very first skills that a woodworker needs to have is to be able to have vision for what might be when you come across a piece of wood. So when you all see this bowl, Ron described to me the piece of holly that he was given that was just a gnarled piece of firewood that nobody would ever risk splitting because holly is so dense and hard. But somehow, he saw in that piece of firewood this gorgeous bowl. The coloration, the knots, the beautiful grain of the wood. His vision for seeing in something that most of us would burn, an extraordinary piece of art, was abundantly clear. Having gone through the Reed home and seen some of the other magnificent pieces of furniture and things that he had made, his vision was immaculate. In just 2 years, I saw the way he could bring that vision to bear on church committees in helping us with our finances at St. Mary's. He had the ability to look at something in its rawest form and see what you would need to do to turn it into a piece of art. His technical knowledge was also extraordinary. I learned more about shellfishing from Ron than even from Dave Naur, which is a pretty impressive thing. But when he described to me this bowl, I never knew that knots in wood were either a result of a wound that a tree had experienced or a branch that had gone to the side. He said knots are some of the most beautiful and interesting parts of woodworking, but also the most complicated. Because wherever there is that wound, or wherever there is that unexpected branch in a life, there is extraordinary strength. So learning how to work with knots, he said, is one of the most challenging things for a woodworker. And you can see that he clearly mastered it. He also described to me the patience that it takes to turn a bowl or a pen or whatever, build a piece of furniture. That when you have the vision and you have the technical knowledge and the wisdom to accomplish something so exquisite, it can be painstaking to go through the process to get here. You can be tempted to rush, to cut corners, to skip steps. And clearly that was absolutely the antithesis of what Ron Reed would ever do. There would be no cutting corners or skipping steps. In the patience, in the calmness, in the repetitive tasks that he engaged in so many areas of his life, I could see this peace washing over Ron and simply describing it. Many of us have had the experience of dropping into another realm of time when we are deeply absorbed in something that we have passion for. Whether we're sitting on the beach and looking at the sunset, working on a hobby, an art, engaged deeply in conversation with people that we love. When we are in these deep present moment encounters, it's like we ascend to the divine. I've had this on my dining room table ever since I outbid a couple dozen people for it at the Holly Fair. Figure with that many stories attached to it, I was going to have this bowl. And every time I look at it, I am reminded of the power of being in the present moment. Eckhart Tolle and so many of our current spiritual leaders teach about the power of now, but I think Ron Reed lived the power of now. Our challenge as we grieve for him is how to resist the pull of grief, which is going to constantly drag us into the past. There will be memories that can create lightness and energy and invigorate us, and they can also make our hearts absolutely break. On the other side, there will be fears and uncertainties about the future. There will be more grief for experiences that the grandchildren won't have with their grandfather. There will be trips that Barbara was expecting to take. There will be so much grief in the future that will be pulling her out of the now. But what Jesus promises us in the gospel lesson this morning, I think, brings us two very real comforts. The first is in his blessings, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. He is saying to each and every one of us, my presence is with you in the now. Blessed are you exactly as you are, mourning and broken and hurting and frustrated and angry and full of questions. Blessed are you exactly now. And he makes explicit promises about the future. You will be comforted. You will inherit the earth. We don't know what that will look like. As Barbara and Amy and Jason and their families move into the next days, they don't know exactly what their specific promise looks like from our Lord. But in this beautiful gospel lesson that they chose, we can hear Jesus saying to each and every one of us, accept my blessing in the now and cling to the knowledge that I will still be with you in the future. This is the only way that we can get through a grief like the death of Ron Reed. For the rest of my ministry, I'll remember that phone call from the Barnstable police. I'm sure Sergeant Kevin Donegan thought that I had lost my mind because I kept saying, who? 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 Absolutely incomprehensible. Blessed are those who mourn, for we all will be comforted.